Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how to buy back tax property. Seems basic, but
there's a lot to
it. It's requested. It's a heavily requested topic. Let's put it that way. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Aaron asks, hey, I'm getting ready to sell my first property in Oregon. The buyer is interested in a terms deal. I am wondering if the contract slash purchase agreement needs any stipulation regarding specifically against growing marijuana, as it is legal in the state, yet it is still federally illegal. What protection do I need as a seller? Does having an LLC or an addendum to their promissory note give any added security here? Is this even something to be concerned with?
And yeah. My answer, yes, it is very something very to be concerned with.
Go for it, Jack.
Even though that sentence isn't correct. Yeah, I mean, you want to make sure that if you ever signed a lease, and all of us have for apartments and stuff, it says, hey, you agree to not do anything that's illegal in any way on this property. And it's no different for land as versus apartments or houses or anything else. So, and then at that point, I'm not a lawyer. You really should. This is an incredibly important and could sink the ship topic. So you want to make sure that you really get real legal advice on this. But it's not so much, you know, this is true for all kinds of legal advice. It's not so much philosophical as it is like, all right, let's just say the guy buys a property. He's the owner now, not you. And he's making payments and he's doing some illegal stuff on the property. Is it, you know, are you responsible? And if the legal answer is no, you're not responsible at all, you don't just close the file and forget it and go on your way. You play it through in your head. So let's say a guy really is, you know, making drugs on a property that I sold him.
But it's terms. This is the whole thing. It's a terms thing is why.
I understand.
Yeah. No, I'm telling, not you, Jack. I'm telling the listener that the reason we're getting worried about this and talking about it is because it's a terms deal, because you still own the property. They're making payments to you. Once you sell the property, it's a whole different ballgame.
It's sold.
That's what I mean.
The property is sold to the guy. He's just making payments, just like a house.
Right.
You purchase the house. You're making payments to the bank. He purchased the land. He's making payments to you, who is acting as a bank. He's responsible for the house and what goes on there.
Right.
If a bank, like Bank of America, let's say, gave this person a mortgage and then all kinds of illegal stuff went down, the cops are not going to show up at the Bank of America's door and say, what the heck? Let this go on. So that's my point about thinking it all the way through. Forget about what the law says. That's great. If it gets that far and everybody's loaded and they can they can pay lawyers for 10 years to have court figured out. But that's not really what happens. What ends up happening is you got to deal with this stuff in the real world. So my gut tells me you're probably okay, but I would really check it out for sure.
Right. Did you understand my point?
Yeah, Joe, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right. Totally. It's like say it's a car. Say this, you know, you can't sell someone a car. If someone's making payments on a car for you, you can't say in the payments, don't drive it to Mexico because the insurance is weird there. You can do that. But if you sell a car for cash and it's 100%, your name is out of it, you are not responsible, they can drive it anywhere they want.
Right.
It's not going to come back on you.
Right.
So that's why this is important.
It's really different than renting. You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And so here's another thing too, Aaron. Okay, let's just play this out. So this is the whole situation. Now, you as the owner and the seller, you might not want to do a terms deal. If you're in any way worried that these people might be buying this property because it's in a real lush area, it's perfect for doing this, I'm not going to do terms, so I don't even have it. That's not even going to come back to bite me. I'm going to sell it for cash and I'll hang out until I get a good cash buyer.
Exactly.
Thank you.
If you have a question or you'd like to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, how to buy back tax property. This is the meat of the show. This is what Jill said right before we turned the mics on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is your show. I don't have to do anything.
I was waiting for it to be something else. I'm like,
Maybe the next show is going to be like, how to stay motivated. And that's what I'm going to say. Jill, this is your show.
Right.
I'm going to watch
TV. I'll be over here. Call me when you're done.
Turns out she's right. As she always is. Well, 98% of the time.
Yeah.
So, how to buy back tax property. Here's an overview, 35,000 foot overview. There's two types of back tax property out there in the universe. Number one, the real simple kind where you buy a deed. The property's up at auction. It's called tax deed property. You go to the auction, you're the high bidder, you own it. You own the property that day or whatever the stipulations are, you put the money down and you go jump up and down on your property and film it and sell it for more. We've done it thousands and thousands and thousands of times, minus the jumping part. Now we just hang our head and say, man, we got a lot of work to do.
Right.
Tax liens are a little bit more complicated, but I will keep it simple. A tax lien is the result, it's the right. You're purchasing the right to do some stuff with the property as an equitable, you have an equitable interest. That's a technical term. You can now make decisions based on the property. So, John Smith, who owns the property, stops paying his taxes. A lot of years go by, and if it's a lien state, they issue a lien, and investors can buy the lien. So, now, the investor that buys the lien, if John Smith has a couple of choices, he's going to say, forget it. I don't ever wanted this property anyway. Then the lien holder, the tax lien holder, can foreclose on him and own the property. The result is the same as a tax deed, but it's a little bit more lengthy and there's some legal stuff to do. The trade-off is that you can usually get it for a lot. You can truly buy a property for the amount of back taxes that are owed on it. So it, in a lot of cases, it's worth it, but that's for you to decide. That is a tax lien. Go ahead, Jill.
Isn't this the reason that the county is doing this is because it takes the work off of them and puts it on you? Like, they can make money off it, right? Can they make much money off it?
No.
Or is it more just taking the burden off of their plates?
I stopped applying logic to government.
Oh, this is just some crazy person's idea of, I don't know what.
Crazy person's
some
idea.
Some crazy county person idea of way of complicating it even more.
So I think really, I should write a book on this too. But the reason, when I researched it before we did the cash flow from land program, the tax lien scenario puts a middle step in the tax deed scenario. So, and it's all in favor of helping the owner, give them a little bit more time to get their stuff together to get the money together to own their properties, continually own their property. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then there's another theory that it's like a complicated investment vehicle, like the stock market and derivatives and stuff.
I'm going with that one.
To make rich,
anything that's
rich
as complicated.
Richer.
There we go. And that's the one. That's the reason I think.
I love tax liens. I love them. You have to be real organized. You can buy some property. I mean, I have bought property on tax liens, thousands and thousands of acres for like $20,000. So you can, tax liens are a great way to invest. Lately, it seems that Wall Street has literally put together funds and stuff. You know, there's a fund for everything.
Mm-hmm.
They put together funds where you just buy tranches of tax liens for, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and they get tens of millions of dollars worth of property, and then they don't know what to do with it. So anyway, that's a topic for a different show.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two types of back tax property. So to make it a little bit more advantageous, some counties, especially out west, have what's called OTC property or over-the-counter property. And that's the property at the end of the line where you call them and you say, hey, I know you had an auction for all this stuff. Can you send me a list of the property that didn't even sell at the auction? Nobody wanted it.
That's the
OTC property, the over-the-counter property. We still regularly buy property over-the-counter in certain states. Joe and I do every month.
Because it's cheap and it's easy.
And it's fast and there's no competition. And
let me back up. Can I ask you some questions here?
Sure, sure.
This comes up often. And I'm a fan and I'm not a fan depending on how you do it. If you're doing it the hard way and the long way, and you're spending a lot of time on these, I'm not a fan. You're going out looking for stuff, and you're only mailing back tax, out-of-state owners. Boy, you're missing a lot of people. And I just talked to a guy about this yesterday. Shucks, I'm trying to remember his first name. Really good guy. Anyway, we talked about this. He says, boy, I hear you. I get it. I'm like, you're, because there's plenty of people that live two counties over that own property that don't want it, that have still been paying on their taxes, and you're missing them, and I'm buying from them. So, number one. So, but number two, there are some times that this is appropriate. Number one, you have some spare time, you know, on these over-the-counter things. You know an area and you're really comfortable with it. And, you know, you might call the county and do the OTC list, like Jack said, or even calling an HOA and buying some property off of them that they took from back taxes. That's a great way to get some properties. But I'm not a fan of, you know, 100% focusing on this, because it takes...
Me either.
Overall, it takes a lot of time.
You still have to go out and do stuff.
Right.
If you send a bunch of mail out, like we teach, you don't have to do anything. You just send the mail out, and then you wait for the people to come to you. They sort themselves out.
And by the way...
So buying tax property, while it can be effective, it's only effective if you already know the area, you already know the name of the person that you're buying it from, the county, and, you know, you kind of jillify the whole thing.
Right.
There's two laws that basically apply to back tax property. You know, the law of averages, which means that to really make this work, back tax property, you have to buy a lot of it. And some you're going to crank one out of the park, and some you're going to just hit a single. And very rarely you're going to actually strike out. So you have to buy a lot. So, and to reiterate exactly what Jill just said, now you're in the game to buy a lot of property. If you're going to buy a lot of property cheap, send a mail out. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're really saying.
Right? Well, yeah. So I firmly believe that you don't go only head on for these properties, and you also don't scrub them out. They will be in your mix.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
Absolutely right. Dead on.
Thank you. Just hit everybody. You will pick up some back tax property. We just had a call today with a guy that it's a property he's looking at that he's like, he would pay, what was it, $600 or $800 for it.
Right.
2.5 acres or something like that, I think. But the guy owns, he was going to pay $600 or $650 for it. It's worth $2,000 or more, maybe, right? But now we found out the guy has $400 in back taxes. All right. That doesn't mean we run from it, and that doesn't mean we eat it. That means we just account for that, right, and adjust it. So, and guess what? Technically, it's a back tax property. You know, or could be, because the guy's about to let it go. So he's making him an offer to get, just so the guy's going to get something out of it. So everybody kind of wins.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me have that little rant.
No. Don't. Because that's where this is all going anyway. That's what this topic is really about.
Yeah.
Here's the takeaway from this topic. Back tax property is not the most efficient way to buy incredibly undervalued property.
Bingo.
It's one of the most difficult, and here's why. Here's an example I came up with before the show. I just came off of, Jill can attest to this, unfortunately. I came off of, recently, a year-long acquisition effort, mailers and all, to buy the perfect boat.
Yeah.
And I was naturally, because of my personality and everything else, gravitated toward the cheapest, biggest value, right? The cheapest boat, per linear square foot. And I ended up buying none of them because I got in there and found out there's problems. There's ownership problems. People are passed away. There's conveyance issues. It's not in the right
physical
country.
Problems.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that it's been neglected. So in the end, it's going to cost me how much to get this thing back to where it needs to be so I can actually enjoy it with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do? I went and paid almost retail for a boat that is really well maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And in the
paid
end,
a fair,
so,
good price
so
for
let's
a good
not,
boat.
Just because the property. Because property that has back taxes associated with it is a massive red flag for the fact that there's other things going on.
It's true.
And so not just with the property, but the ownership structure and everything else. So over the years, Jill and I, like once a month, Jill and I get an email that goes like this. Jack and Jill, thanks so much. I listen to your show all the time. And I just want to tell you that you guys are dead on about back tax property. I've been a back tax property investor for a million years, and I purchased And I looked back at all the numbers, and what I found out is I buy about 5% of the properties that I back tax properties I review, And when I send a mailer out, I buy about 90% of the properties that I review there. And it's all because of what I just said. It's so initially attractive to think that you can buy a 40-acre property, buy a tax lien on a 40-acre property for $80 and foreclose on it for a couple of hundred and own it. There's so much other stuff that goes on that you have to check out. Mm-hmm. Liens and
your things time.
Things that you don't have to have any A on your time. Any right. issues with when you send a mailer out to everybody who owns a 40-acre property mm-hmm. in the county.
Well, let me say two things. One thing is your time. That's one that I go, that makes you, like when I realize, okay, I just spent 20 hours this week on this one stupid thing, hitting my head against the wall to get this transaction to go through, right? And get all these, figure this stuff out. In that 20 hours, I could have done four properties and made even more money.
Or 40.
Or 40
properties,
right? If you're
us and you know what you're doing.
And made more money. And that's the reality that you have to really look at. You know, what's the point? The other point is, I love this one. It's so common and so easy to do. People are out there driving for dollars and they come up across this gorgeous street and you're drawing, look at the trees, how they just hang over and look sweetheart, there's white picket fence and boy, isn't this gorgeous? And then there's a house at the end of the block and it's all boarded up and you're like, oh, it looks like, look at all the weeds. Oh, babe, imagine we could buy this and we could flip it and what we could do. You start dreaming about what we could do. Isn't this awesome? Thank you.
I have a vision in my head.
Don't you? Yeah. Thank you. And it's all boarded up. The weeds are 4 feet high. You can barely get to the front door and look in the windows because they're all, and you're like, what we could do
What's
to
in
this
there?
House.
Finish the story.
Oh, it's a mess. They left for,
Who
they left
there?
Fast. Nobody lives
it's
there. It's all boarded up and it's vacant. This is exactly what you've come across. So,
is there a surviving spouse? Finish the story.
Oh, okay.
Finish the story.
Okay, so you like this? Okay.
And what's
then,
in the garage?
And then the it gets dark.
69 Camaro.
Now the sunset's starting to come. And it's getting dark, and you start. Oh, you story hear
time.
Noises.
Joe.
You're standing
hear
on
noises.
The porch. You're standing on the porch.
I have a total
you hear
mental image.
You hear noises from the other side of the door, and you know there's nobody there. I'm just kidding. So yeah. All right. So I painted my picture of this home, right?
Is there a 69 Camaro
so wait
in the
a minute.
Garage?
Yes. You can peek in. You can. You go up to the garage and there's a window and you use your inside of your shirt to wipe
the window. I use the outside. You use the inside.
to wipe through. So you can see there's a vehicle under a tarp. Sweetheart, bonus. We want to get this property. We know we can flip this property. Somebody obviously died and it's just sitting here waiting for us. Do you really think, here's my reality check. Do you really think you are the first person that's come along with this idea and it's just sitting there waiting for you? I hate to say this, but 99% of the time, you're the 130th person who has seen this property and started down this path. And now you're wasting, you wasted all day by this, first of all, because you got all excited and started calling.
You got distracted.
Oh, yeah, and you started calling contractors to come out and look at it because you don't even know who owns it yet. You're already thinking about what you could do to it.
You could have put 10,000 units in the mail, offers in the mail.
Right. And now you're, and then next thing you know, you've wasted a week to find out there's a reason why it's boarded up. It's in a legal mess. And there's just, the cost and the time and the energy to undo it because, you know, it's six generations now. People are gone and they can't find the documents and the attorney even gave up. I mean, the attorney's fees are more to get this undone, are more than the house is worth, you know. I mean, this is the reality.
That's right.
So this is, I want to paint this picture just to remind everybody that.
Unless the Camaro's worth a lot.
Yeah, you haven't even got that far. Well, yeah, again.
Just joking.
I know. You know, I mean, it's just not worth your time.
You can't mechanize that either. You can't automate it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't automate driving for dollars. You can't automate buying back tax property as much as you think you can.
That's good.
You can't.
And if you can't automate it, you can't grow it.
You can't scale it.
That's
you can't
it.
Repeat it. What you can scale and repeat is sending unsolicited offers out. Endlessly sending a sea of offers so that the people who do want to buy the property or sell the property to you find you.
Right.
And so you don't like your acquisition situation? Send out more mail or change the pricing. Too many offers are going out? Adjust it back down. We have these, Jill and I have these conversations with our members. And so you have complete control of the risk associated in your real estate career. True. That's another takeaway from this. With law auctions, you have no control. With driving for dollars and the beautiful story that Jill told, you have no, if you have that's actually worse because now you're emotional and you actually look at the property. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah.
So the reason that I wanted to put this in here is because we get so many questions about back tax property. And I see people teaching, other people, teaching the value of buying back tax property. So let me end on this. I'm going to dispel a few myths about back tax property. You will never, ever buy your primary residence in a back tax auction or in a tax lien auction. It's never going to happen. And everybody who's successful financially at selling back tax programs and education tells you that lie, that you can buy a beautiful house for just the amount of back taxes that are owed. So that's just not how it works. You can buy an ugly apartment building in the ghetto and make a ton of money, but you're not going to buy a primary residence. So, and that's what sucks people in, and it really makes me mad when I see that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Jack.
You will never automate back tax acquisitions. And if you're going to buy tax liens in an urban area, you will be up against Wall Street acquisition people, and you don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Why the headaches? Why do it?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of
a
Wall Street firm sending out blind offers? No way. They're not organized enough. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of ding-dongs work there. Trust me. I used to be one.
Right. We met one guy one time. Remember that? It was in this big group of investors, and he has a pretty big company that they're buying a couple $1 million, 100-door, maybe 50 to 100-door apartment complexes. And he was the one guy that said, we do, you know, he doesn't really know how to do it right, it sounds like. But he has had some positive results from direct mail, so they still do direct mail.
He also said that the guy that was back, the people that are backing him on these acquisitions are private equity groups like KKR.
Right.
So it's hard to lose.
Right.
So it's just, this is for regular people.
Right.
So isn't it, you know, when people used to, when I was younger, people would say, hey, this is never, you're never going to buy a house. And you're, like just what I just said, it made me want to go out there and do it.
So, that's how I am too.
I know you are. Yeah. That's why we're together.
You're just a girl. You can't do that. Oh yeah, watch me.
Oh my God. Somebody ever say that? I can't imagine.
Oh yeah.
God help somebody if they said that to you now.
Yeah.
You're just a girl.
I know.
Oh my God, Joe.
Yeah.
Write a book about that.
Maybe I will.
Join us in the next episode where we discuss the power of being debt-free. Oh, I didn't write that title.
That is going to be awesome. And we answer Joshua's question about pricing by square foot.
I can help there.
Yep.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Good show, Jill.
I'm glad you liked my...
I loved your story.
My picture.
We should have a story time with Jill.
We could do story time with Jill.
I would get a glass of milk and put a little blanket on the floor and listen to your story.
You know what? I can do it in the next show and tomorrow's show. I can paint a... I'll tell some stories about life being debt-free and life not being debt-free.
Okay. Can you tell a story of Mr. and Mrs. Smith who live in a house and they're debt-free and how happy they are?
I am happy to do that for you, Jack. Get your blanket.
Information
tomorrow.
And inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.